Happy New Year, and welcome to episode number 8 of Where is the Support? My first interview for 2010 is with an incredible woman named Dawn Thompson, who is in her 80s and is an ex-Mormon living in Alaska. What follows is a conversation we had about religion and homophobia while she was visiting family in Toronto.
So first of all, thank you, Dawn, for taking the time to talk to me this evening. And maybe if we could just start off, if you could just sort of introduce yourself and just tell us a bit about who you are.
Well, my official name is Rhea Dawn Edling, and then I married a Danishman, and his name's Thompson, so I share that name, and that's the name of our 5 children.
A bit about how you became Mormon and how you felt being Mormon.
I was born into the Mormon Church. I was fourth generation Mormon. My forebears came over with the pioneers. They walked the plains and through the ruts, and they were there when Brigham Young set up his new church in the Salt Lake Valley. And those pioneers were the parents of my parents, and I knew some of them before they died. So I was very steeped in Mormonism. I believe that my father was an intelligent, good man, and that everything I was taught should make sense. Hmm. And when I began to ask questions, well, then it all began to unravel.
Hmm. And what made you stop, like, to decide to stop being Mormon? And, how did that process happen?
Well, there were many, many pieces to that puzzle. And for this interview, I think that I should include the 2 important pieces, a daughter who was lesbian and a son who is gay. And they were not accepted. Their lifestyle was not accepted by my mother and father, whom I deeply trusted to always do the right thing. And so on top of all the questions I had, it didn't feel good anymore to me. If it couldn't feel good for my children, it doesn't feel good to their mother.
Mm, definitely. And do you ever regret stepping out of that church? Like, do you ever have any moments?
No, not one. They actually excommunicated me and then rebaptized me 7 years later, and then I chose to have my name withdrawn, and it's withdrawn now.
Wow, yeah.
So none of our 5 children are members, nor is my husband, who was a former believer and missionary in Argentina.
Wow. And aside from that, like, do you believe in religion?
You know, I have my own religion. I'm the only member of my church, but I'm deeply spiritual, and I spend hours every day kind of evaluating other people's ideas, see if they fit with mine. But I'm the only person in my household who thinks like I do.
Yeah, so I guess your religion is pretty accepting.
I only have one rule. My rule is to do no harm.
Hmm. Hmm. Do you feel that religion and homophobia are connected?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Religion does damage, serious damage. It does politically, financially, socially, emotionally. The truth isn't there if you want to dig into it. At least I didn't find any truth that appealed to me.
Hmm. So a lot of the organizations in Toronto that serve homeless youth mm-hmm. are actually faith-based. A lot of them are religious. Do you see that as being a problem?
Well, it depends. There are as many different kinds of religion and teachings as there are people. And where I would share what I believe with anybody, I don't try to convince them. And I think when somebody proselytes to make children think like they do, there's a danger because we're all too different. Mm-hmm. We can't all walk in lockstep and be ourselves.
Right. So what about faith-based organizations that abide by the rules of Christianity or by any religion?
I don't know any.
Okay.
I don't know any. They fall apart for me eventually.
Right.
Some are better than others. Your political system here in Canada allows your faith-based to be more liberal and actually do some good, where I didn't find that in the States.
Mm.
They were not liberal. They were very right-wing and very polarized.
Mm.
So there is a big difference. We like our neighbors in Canada from Alaska, and we like all of them.
Right.
So we haven't run into the same kind of judgment and unacceptance that we're used to in the lower 48.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't seen it here.
Yeah. Do you think it could work though? Like, if a organization is like really highly religious, do you think that an organization like that, can they be accepting to queer youth?
Yes, I think they can do a lot to help the youth, but I think if they persist in getting them all in lockstep, they'll miss the boat because religion to me is a stepping stone, and we all grab hold for support and to learn something, and then it must not block us. It must free us to go and be who we are.
And throughout your life, have you ever had to deal with any sort of extreme homophobes where you had to defend your children?
Yes, in the Mormon Church, my husband has been the greatest defender of our son and our daughter, and told the home teachers that if they came to preach about the wickedness of his son and daughter, they weren't welcome in our home, and they should just go ahead and leave and not return.
And how did they respond to
They ran to their car and they did not return.
that? Wow, that's really amazing.
And that happened more than once because we've lived in many places.
Yeah, like throughout the States.
Well, we lived in yes, in Glendale, we lived in Missouri, and we lived in two different places in Utah.
Would you say that any of those places were more homophobic than the other?
Oh, Utah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that where your children grew up?
Yes, we moved there when John was 5, and then we went from there to Missouri, and the Midwest is pretty homophobic.
Yeah.
And our experience is that lesbian is always better received. And our daughter Marianne always had a smoother application for job reviews and rose in her company, even though she was lesbian, to be a chairman and a director of a cheese plant. And she was free to develop actually the in-crust cheese for Pizza Hut. And then follow that up by creating other plants that could do that to keep up with the demand. And she has retired early and plays golf in Florida. She couldn't see anybody helping her, so she went and did it for herself.
Yeah. Wow. And what about today? Like in your present day life, do you still deal with homophobic people, do you find?
Oh, my husband's pretty hard on them, and we live in a very small town. And our town accepts the women partners. They even run for office and are elected and get about any job. They're very efficient and they're bright. And the men, it's a different story. They're there if, and they're successful if they stay in the closet. If you go to a bar and come out of a closet, we don't see you again.
Wow.
And we have a wonderful neighbor who's a male nurse, and I think he's just a delight. But he knows he's always lived in Alaska, and he just knows to be quiet.
Yeah.
His partner lives in Seattle,
Okay.
and is a school teacher, so they get together when they're on vacation.
Yeah. And do you see any hope? Like especially for Utah, for instance. Like, do you see any hope for the future, or do you think that people will always be really homophobic?
Well, I always have hope. I think it's misguided in Utah. Because I have friends and family that I visit there. And I have even family members who share in homophobia. And it's not fun. It's a challenge because I don't want to step on them, but I don't want them stepping on my children either.
Yeah, absolutely. On the extreme opposite side to you, there's a lot of parents who kick their kids out for coming out.
I have known some.
Yeah. And so here, so it's been estimated that I think about approximately 25 to 40% of homeless youth are LGBTQ, and they're homeless either because they came out and they were kicked out, or they came out and they were subjected to extreme abuse, so they had to leave. What do you think about that?
I don't think there's any use for that. I think that the consciousness in the world we live in is increasing. And I'm kind of old, but if I could live long enough, I think I would live long enough to see that turn around. Because I think people who are homophobic and people who do damage to others, it somehow comes around to bite them eventually. And so they may feel like they're winning, but I think they're shooting themselves down.
That's a great attitude. And what kind of advice can you offer to parents who have a hard time dealing with their kids coming out?
I think they need to start by looking in the mirror and finding out who they themselves are. And everyone is so different if they realize this, that their children have a right to be different too. And for us to want a stamp on our children is just, it's not even wise. It's unfair. It's uncalled for. Children have a right to be themselves. And if we can't support our children, it always reflects, I think, on the parent. That's why I start out by saying, look in the mirror. You don't know who you are. You're the parent of this child. Now wake up.
Have you done any speaking to parents? Like, have you ever gone to any schools or educated any parents that have a hard time with this?
Well, I've spoken with my family and friends in Glendale, California, and in Missouri, and in Utah, and mostly with cousins and their families. But my husband and I did serve on a committee at USU, that's University State University, when we lived in, first retired in Logan, Utah. Mm. And we met there twice a week, and that's where we met a very diversified group of men and women in ages and sexual preference. And it was a great, it was short, but it was a good education for us. And when we had decided to move to Alaska to retire, and that's what cut our stay there short. But for the months that we were there, a young man who was actually student body president in a high school was in the group for two evenings is all, and he had come out of the closet, and his father was a bishop in the Mormon church and threw him out of the house. The principal threw him out of the school. He was living with a friend up near the Idaho border, and the third time that we expected to see him there and participate with us, we learned that he had committed suicide. Wow. And that he was such a fine-looking, fine-spoken person that it would break your heart.
Mm. Wow.
So it was a sad time.
Yeah, that's really sad. And in terms of, we're talking about advice, like giving parents and people advice. What kind of advice would you offer to faith-based organizations that serve homeless youth, and they have a reputation for being homophobic? Or is this something you think that any advice really won't help?
Well, if they're a Christian organization, I think you start with the fact that unconditional love has to be the basis of what, the only thing that you could really hold Jesus to. Everything else comes from Paul or Luke or somebody else or 700 years later. But I think everybody agrees that Jesus was about love. And I think that you have to, so I go back to looking in the mirror, because if you don't love yourself to start with, you got nothing to start with. And if you're going to love a child or someone else's child or someone who believes different than you, it has to start with love, and it has to grow and spread. And that's it. It has done that for me. I was, as you touch other people's lives, something happens. I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but it's commonly called consciousness, mm-hmm. and I think that does grow, and I think it does make us, it makes me more peaceable. It makes me think that to judge is high, and I'd rather not do that, because I'm not sure I'm right. Everybody's too different, so I think we have to give everybody space. Now, if we're going to hurt somebody, I think then we have to hang on and say, you can't hurt somebody. We have to have rules like that. But for us to have a religion, a belief, or politics that hurts somebody, or stops them, or blocks them in their progress, I just think that will come around to bite us.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that, so your politics are just so amazing. I think you're such a wonderful person. Do you think that, did being Mormon have anything to do with the way that you think right now? Like, do you think that because it was so not for you, maybe, like, did that change?
No, I tried to make Mormon be for me. I married a young man who was a believer, did his genealogy, paid his tithing, spent 2.5 years on a mission in Argentina. And my father was a scriptorian and a patriarch. and a stake president, and some people will know what that means, and chairman of the church finance committee for 35 years. And I trusted him as a good man, as an intelligent man. But my questions began far before my children became, my two gay and lesbian, became an issue.
Mm.
And I just wasn't getting answers. I offended my father. I was talking to my mother one evening, and she says, ask your father. And my answer was, well, no, I ask him, and I know what he's going to answer before he gives me the answer. He just goes around in circles. Well, by that time, I was a young woman. I was married and had five children. And he was very offended. He went on upstairs, and the next day he disinherited me. And it's okay with me. I am a spiritual person, and I believe I will enjoy seeing my father again. And I think he knows that that was a little rash for him to do that.
Right.
And it's just okay.
Yeah.
I have learned more from the hard days than the smooth days.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, that has stretched me, and I guess I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really great. And is there anything else that maybe you wanted to add in that I didn't ask you about?
Well, I've had one thing on my mind lately, because I'm going to go home to Alaska tomorrow, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do, because I do serve in the museum, I serve on the planning commission, and I try to support our new library and so forth. I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to make life better for the rest of the gay community. The lesbians are doing fine. Everybody else is suffering. And is there anything that I can do? There's only 2,300 people, but there's 16 really Christian churches, and they are all homophobic. And I don't feel like attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to any of these churches. If they have a wonderful musical program, my husband and I go because we enjoy the music.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we don't get engaged in this. But I find with all of our philosophies and the books that we read, we have a little bookstore there, and my husband and I order about 2 books a week, so we go through lots of books.
Yeah.
And the people in town know it, being a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll order 10 copies of something, because we're going to send them to friends and family, and then the little bookstore will think, well, gee, if they can get rid of 10, we can order more too. So then they have them advertised in the front window. And I don't know. It seems like such little things that we can do. And if I could, I'd just love to figure out some way of getting their attention. I will share this with you. I have a very close friend I worked with in the museum for 5 years while I was the buyer. She was head of the little museum gift shop, and I was the buyer. And she's Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And she came into my home and says, oh, Dawn, look at that book. It was called Anna, the Grandmother of Jesus. And she says, that just grabs me. She says, what's that book about? Would you trust me to take it and read it? I said, absolutely, Arlene. So she came back after about 3 weeks. She says, oh, I struggled with that. And I said, you look kind of pale, Arlene. And she says, well, I felt like that I had to go to confession. And I said, well, did you go? And I know Father Blaine, and I said, what did he say? He says, Arlene, I'm so proud of you for reading that book. If more people would do that, it might heal the church. And she said, I didn't know the church was sick. She says, but I feel a lot better about reading the book.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know, you know, and sometimes you don't know what little things happen.
But it sounds like you are doing something. It sounds like you're doing a lot.
Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes when you have 5 little kids, you can line them up and kind of threaten them with no candy or go to your bed or something.
Right.
But what can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? We have, as I've told you, we have a gay man across the street. He's probably in his late 30s. He's a nurse at the Native Clinic. He is a most delightful, intelligent young man. He's one of the best neighbors we've ever had in our life.
And is he accepted by the community, or?
Only because he doesn't come out.
Right.
He knows not to come out. He knows to get out of town and go see his partner. And when his partner's in town, they don't go to the bars.
Yeah.
They'll come over to our house, or over to our son's house. Or they'll go up to the lake and fish. you know, but they're very careful about going in town.
So they're out to you and your husband?
Oh, yes, they are. And he's out to his own parents. When his parents come and visit, my husband goes across the street and sits on the porch and gabs with them, you know, so they're all friends.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.
I have enjoyed meeting you girls and all of the people I've met here
in
Canada, and I congratulate you on what you're doing. Anybody that's helping these young people, they need somebody to look to, somebody to lean on, and you're doing that, and I thank you.
No, thank you very much.